All right, Jake, what do you say? We take it to the max. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic. Doing great. How are you?
Tell me the things. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, we just talked on a Max Convo about advocacy. I can't, you know, I get a lot of energy. I always come back home with a lot of energy from the advocacy conference. And this year was actually, we didn't talk about this on the Max Convo, but this year was really cool because I had two new attendees from the state of Alabama who've never been before. So being able to help them feel at ease in that was really cool. But so advocacy again was as fresh on my mind. It was last week. It was DC. It was just a phenomenal week for a lot of reasons. And Great River was right before that. So a little bit of the spring travel, obviously the spring conference season going on. So that's been busy. And then some really cool stuff going on here, you know, with us at MMI. So it's been a lot of fun.
I want to unpack all of this. First things first, I have very real FOMO about missing Great River and advocacy. I had pneumonia for like a month and I could not kick it. Yeah, it was so brutal. And finally, I, you know, had to do the responsible thing and say like, all right, I'm going to let these lungs heal. I'm going to not put them up in an airplane for 2 weeks and let's see if I can get over it. So it finally worked. I finally kicked it. But the FOMO is still real because you know I wanted to be there. So next year, my friend, count me in. We're doing advocacy together. Nothing would make me happier.
Absolutely. And I think the landscape will still be right for the conversations that we had this week, we can have next year. But you know, going back for just a second, I mean, Great River, and you and I've talked about that briefly, but it really is a great regional conference because it's so really so well attended by the lenders. But we all know we go to conferences and you feel like it's a 75-25 vendor to lender. This is a great conference. You have a lot of local lenders who are involved and four states all in one place, the historic Peabody. So put that one on your list too, bud.
I will. I promise not to get pneumonia next year so I can be there. I'm making that declaration right now. I do want to back up just a little bit though, for the people who don't know you. Let's give a proper introduction to the incredible person who is Jake Belter. Jake, give me a little background on you, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate that. You're very generous when you describe me, and I'm always I thrive on words of affirmation. So thank you for that. But no, it's, you know, this will be my 26th year in May in the mortgage industry. I started in May of 1999, and I've done a lot of stuff. I've done correspondent sales. I've done subprime retail origination. I've done, you know, things we talked about last year. So I don't want to be very redundant, but, you know, I love our industry. I've talked about this before. I spent 7 years from 99 to about 07 in the business trying to make a paycheck. Took a bit of a hiatus when The Big Short was being created, and then came back in with just a renewed passion. And you know what, sidetrack too badly, but I remember as a kid, even as a teenager, my dad driving us around and showing us houses that they grew up in. Like, here's where we grew up. Here's where I came home from the hospital. And then I got to a point in life where I connected all of that. Like the, you know, the house that he and my mom bought, or he and my stepmom that they lived in, they had to get the financing, and they were at a time when it was a 20% down probably, you know? And so the evolution of the industry and just how it helped, you know, my mom when she became a single mom, and we lived in a really ratty apartment, that was all she could do. And she worked her way to be able to get us into a home. Like, those are the things that we do to help families. And so, you know, and I think you've heard me say it a lot. I'm a really practical and realistic person. I don't get overly optimistic. I don't get pessimistic, but I'm unicorns and rainbows when I talk about the mortgage business. I'm like a Pollyanna with a beard over here.
You really are. There is almost no one who loves this industry more than you, who is so passionate about it. This is something that I know we talk about a lot, and you have been on Max Convas three times, which is either the most outside of Brandon, or tied for the most. That's how much I love having you back there, because you're always such a great interviewee and I appreciate you so much. But the recurring theme that we always talk about is advocacy. You are so involved in the NBA and in championing the mortgage industry as a whole, in wanting to ensure that really that housing is accessible for everyone and anyone who could possibly qualify, and helping to, I think, open up people's minds to seeing the value in that, and really understanding that it's not just a paycheck that they're going after, that they're changing people's lives, that they are building generational wealth, that they are really, like what you just described, where they can be a part of someone's family history. That is such a beautiful thing. And I know that you hold it so fervently because you are such a champion for the industry. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's go back to advocacy. I want to hear about, walk me through it. Again, having never been there, and for the people who haven't been there, let's take it from the top. Why don't you walk us through what it is exactly that you're doing, what role you're serving there, how the agenda kind of lays out, and what some of the initiatives were that you saw out of this year?
Yeah, love to have that conversation. And just going back for a second, when you said, you know, that not many people are as passionate about the industry as I am, I was in a room with about 600 of them last week, and it was really nice. I mean, it's when you go to this conference, you're essentially surrounded by the people who feel the same way that I do, that you do, about making an impact and making home ownership more accessible. So, you know, the typical schedule, I know this was the schedule last week and last year. I think this is typically how it works. The Monday of the conference is the state and local workshops. So a lot of folks who are very involved in leadership at the state and local chapters, associations, they come in and get just some hands-on best practices, tips. They get a lot of information from some great speakers. I did not attend that this year. So that takes place all day Monday, typically Monday night. There's a reception of some sort. And then Tuesday morning is when everybody comes into the main room. You're seated by state. And what's really cool, I didn't notice this. Somebody pointed it out this year. They lay out the entire room like the map. So we were in the very back of the room sharing a table with Florida, down in the very southeast corner.
Oh,
and you have,
that's,
you know,
cool.
Maine and New Hampshire was over in the front left of the front right of the room. So, but you sit with the attendees from your state, and you get to spend a day, all day Tuesday, getting to know each other through sessions. So there are sessions where NBA leaders come in and talk about the issues that we're going to be talking about. You know, Bob Brooksman always starts the meeting with a sort of a state of the industry and breaks down what's going on and what's important in DC. And then he sets the tone for sessions that we have, where we get information about what it is that we're going to be talking about, what's important, what get our talking points. And then the afternoon, we have some great speakers. We have representatives and senators come in. I mentioned again, Elizabeth Warren was there. It's a pretty big name for a mortgage bankers conference, right?
I'm and then
Mark Warner from Virginia, who has also been very instrumental in the lending space, was right behind her. And so we had McLean, I think Lisa McLean from Michigan. And so we had, you know, they always have great speakers who want to come in and talk about what they see, the impact that they see on housing in their area. And so it's just a neat experience. And then, you know, there's a great reception, customer reception on Tuesday night, usually at a really nice museum in DC. And then Wednesday is you go out, you take on the hill, and sometimes you'll have a staff member from the NBA. If it's a new group who's not been very experienced, you might have somebody from the NBA there with you. Or if you've got an experienced state leader, you just walk along and follow the lead. And so, like I said earlier, it was nice. We had a couple of guys from Birmingham, a, Got, I mean, and you get to be friends with these guys, Todd from in the commercial realm from Tuscaloosa. First time he had been there, and Jonathan, who's an attorney who does a lot of mortgage and finance work here in Birmingham with Bradley, was there. And so being able to help those guys feel comfortable and understand the cadence of what we're doing on Wednesday, but also, you know, how to absorb the information and break it down. So it's just great. It's a great conference.
Amazing. What a cool experience and a phenomenal way to make your voice heard and to, again, be that vocalization of we are the boots on the ground people. This is what we're seeing in our industry. This is why it matters. This is why it's important. And you need to hear what we have to say about it. I love this approach. Yeah.
If I can add, you know, we've talked, you and I've talked before about networking as well. And NAC is a great networking opportunity. It's not a 4,500 person conference like annual, 600 people in a room together who, again, are really on the same wavelength for the most part. Yes. And so a really good opportunity to make new connections. I connected with a couple of folks last week that I'll have follow-up conversations about community lending. And, you know, again, in the conversations you and I have, community lending is not a real vital part of what I do every day to make money for my company or myself, right, but it's a real passion of mine. So I want to find ways. I want to have conversations. I want to meet people and connect and have conversations that we can find ways to intertwine what I might be good at and my role and the information that we have access to and what they're doing to create more opportunities for underserved communities to afford homes. So it's a great place to make great connections and network. Yeah.
Yeah. What a great approach of going into it with the understanding of, and that's what networking is, right? Of you, I may not benefit you directly in your direct line of work, but there may be something that I can offer or a person in my sphere that could be of direct benefit to you. And let's figure out the synergies that exist between us so that in the event that you do need to leverage something that I can help you with, you have that contact, you have that resource ready to go at your fingertips. I know that that is an area that we are both so passionate about. Yeah. And it's for that exact reason. You never know who you may connect with, who may connect you with someone that you really could potentially change the way you go about conducting your business. So I love that intersection of the two. I do want to talk about some of the initiatives that were covered while you were there. So let's jump into those. Obviously, trigger leads, right?
Yeah.
That's the one that we talked about yesterday, just touched on. Walk me through that.
Yeah. So And progress was made in the last Congress, but with the switch over in the election, everything just came to a halt. So there was that was number one talking point for every group in every state, I believe, that was going out. Even in a Q&A, you know, we had with these speakers who were very involved in the process, Elizabeth Warren, Mark Warner, people stopped in a Q&A and brought that up. And you know, one of the things that they always encourage, that the MBA is really good about encouraging, is share your story, have a personal story, have a tie to whatever this is. And so they shared, you know, somebody shared an example of a surgeon who had applied for a mortgage and he was on call and he gets a text when he has to go into the OR, and he applied for a mortgage and got 75 text messages. Ugh. And, you know, from the, you know, spam text messages from the trigger lead. So, you know, that was the key point. And again, really hard to find opposition to that, except maybe a small segment that benefits from those. But so that was number one talking point. We went in and, you know, again, and the two senators in my state, Katie Brett and Coach Tommy Tuberville from Auburn, they had already co-sponsored the previous. So I felt like it was a pretty soft launch to go back in and have it. And so, and both, you know, the staffers and the members initially, the first response is yes, we're behind that. So,
right.
And so again, we came home on the conference ended Wednesday. I think Thursday is when the news came out of this new legislation. So we talked about it yesterday. It's there's a House bill 2808, Senate bill, I think it's 1467, unless I've switched those. And through the Mortgage Action Alliance, if you're a member of the Mortgage Action Alliance, you should have already got an email. All you have to do is click here, put your name in. They're pre-formatted, they're pre-filled. Send that back out and say, I would love for you to look at this, co-sponsor this, sign this, and let's make this happen. The Home Buyer Privacy Protection Act is what both bills are labeled. So number one on the list was trigger leads, obviously, and it looks like we've already got some pretty good momentum, some pretty good traction on that.
That makes sense. I don't think there's a lot of people within the industry who care to see trigger leads stick around. So we should all be lending our voices behind that one.
No question. And again, there are some people somewhere who do benefit, obviously, from this because it's so prevalent. And so, you know, what does their lobby look like? We don't know, but we feel like our voice was heard last week pretty loud and clear. So, and, you know, it was a little bit chaotic. I was laughing later after yesterday, you know, you, the moniker that you've given me of the mayor. And I thought, you know, after in DC last week, I don't know that I really want to be associated with politics in any shape, form, or fashion, but it was the debt reconciliation process. So every meeting we were in, there were people in and out. And, you know, we had one of the members, one of our Congress members was in most cases, you're meeting with staff members. In some cases, you get to meet with the actual member. We had a meeting with a member, but at the last minute, he had to cancel to go into a negotiation meeting. So that was a lot of the conversation around was what's going on in the debt reconciliation. But our contribution to that is, you know, we're looking at, and I think I may mess these numbers up, but I think that I think it's like a $1.5 trillion package. And we've got a set of tax incentives that are related to housing and making housing more attractive. And it's about a $20 million package would be the overall impact. So we're saying, you know, look, give us 20 million of $1.5 trillion and those conversations came up. I mean, you know, some of the staffers you meet with are the budget guys or girls. And so they'll say, yeah, you know what, here's what, I understand capital gains and not being taxed as much on the gain on sale of a home or mortgage insurance premiums. And, you know, and you can see the wheels turning, I don't think that would be a major piece. I think that's something that we can work on if we get some more information. And a lot of times they do. They ask for more information. They ask for data. They ask for talking points. We always have a lead behind that we can give them with our talking points. But, you know, obviously Marina Walsh and the analytics team that puts together the research for the MBA has so much reporting. So, you know, we typically go back to the MBA. Typically the lobbyists. So we have our lobbyists. We have folks that work with the Senate and folks that work with the House and Republicans and Democrats. So typically we'll give our feedback to them and then they go get those resources so they can continue to build their relationships. Their network is to get influence with that member. So we talked a lot about tax implications. We talked yesterday about partial claims on VA loans. And again, you know, for me, I feel like that's a travesty that the one program that we have set aside for one individual group of Americans is the one that doesn't get this benefit. And so,
dare we say the people who deserve it the most don't.
Yeah, I mean, serve those who serve. And so, there was, you know, I saw some really interesting statistics on a pool of loans, serviced VA loans that had been damaged, went into default for disaster damage. And there was no process. There was no reconciliation process. So they had to be modified. So because a tornado hit or whatever, they had to modify to a higher, about 80% of these loans had to modify to a higher interest rate because of a disaster. So it's, you know,
That's
and we
absurd.
Shared. It's insane. I'll send you that report.
Please, please do.
But it that needs to be addressed. So there needs to be a permanent, the VASP program expires in May. And so that was, a special allowance for mitigation practices, but it expires. Okay. They did do a patch during COVID for partial claims for VA loans, but it's gone. So, there's got to be a permanent fix in place for those
Absolutely.
Who serve.
Absolutely. See, this is exactly why I wanted to have this conversation with you, fresh off of you coming back from it, because I think there are so many highlights that should be triggered in people's brains of why it's so important for you to be involved in your local groups, in your national mortgage groups. There is so many people get stuck in their day-to-day grind. They come in, they're focusing on the borrowers in their pipeline, they're focusing on getting those loans to close, they're moving on. What we're forgetting is that there is so much advocacy that can happen while all of that is transpiring to better open up and better serve the people that we're trying to help and get into these loans, opening up access to people who deserve it the most, being of assistance to veterans who we owe the utmost debt to, being a champion for them and being in their corner is everything. So yeah. I love the passion that you have for this.
Well, and I appreciate the way you say that, because we're talking about a conference that happens once a year that I attended last week. And, the point that you just made is one that the staff tells us, this does not have to be the only time you do this. These are the times when we can connect with these staff members. You always get a card when you walk out. You've got an email address. You've got a phone number. Connect with these staff members and then set up meetings in your state, in their district. These folks, when they're in their office, will meet with you. Continue the work. If you don't get to go to advocacy, it doesn't mean you're not a part of the process. You can still carry that forward. There are a lot of folks who are in the industry who probably have some connection, some network with a legislator, senator, and they may not go to advocacy, but they still have the ability to be an influence and to schedule those meetings to be active outside of the 1 week, the other 51 weeks of the year, right?
Bingo. That is exactly it. Be involved. Care enough about the industry that you serve to actually give a damn and really make your voice heard on the issues that matter.
And like we said earlier, there's two sides to every issue. And somebody, there's a good chance somebody's lobbying for one of those sides. So, if we have some things that are important to us, but the opposition, the trigger leads, benefactors are louder than us because we're sitting on our hands. There's only so much you can do when the squeaky wheel starts to squeak.
Exactly. And in my opinion, whatever is best for the consumer is always best for the industry. So that's where the vocalization needs to go, because the money doesn't always coincide with that. So thank you for touching on that. I do want to.
You just made that point that's what's best for the consumer, for the American consumer, is what's best for the industry. And that's a perfect answer for when you, when you take your oral exam for the CMB at some point.
Yeah, right.
So we'll talk about that.
2 years, Jake. 2 years.
Let's talk about that later.
I need a little bit of time. I've got a couple things going on that I'm building, but 2 years is my goal. I'm working on putting that.
The pressure will not stop. You need to be in the society.
I would love to be. I really would. Right. And that is an area that, again, I think is such a great way to reflect your commitment to the industry, is getting that CMB designation. It shows that you're not just treating this as a job, but that you actually hold almost the reverence for it that it deserves and the respect that it really does call for to be a true expert in this industry. And again, I'm not saying that in order to be an expert in the industry, you have to be a CMB. I'm just saying it shows that one extra level of dedication. So I feel you. I feel you. I hear what you're saying.
It's great. And again, we've covered that before. I so much passion around the CMB Society and the group of friends that I've created there that helped me in a time when I really needed help. I needed a lifeline, found myself looking for a role and that group became my cheerleader, my cheering section. And so there's so much there, but now we have committees in place. I'm on the philanthropic committee with my friend, Dawn Hooper. We're trying to raise funds for the scholarship. There's the scholarship that helps industry professionals go attend School of Mortgage Banking 1, 2, or 3, or the CMB program or servicing. You know, that scholarship fund has all but been depleted. We're getting some funds, I think, in May from a nonprofit, but it's a grassroots. So there's efforts to raise funds for, you know, the scholarship fund that allows folks to take classes. They may not get a company sponsorship. They have to do that. There's, you know, there's a networking committee. There's an exchange committee in the CMB Society where, you know, you exchange of ideas, and it's an open, sort of an open dialogue between folks who are probably competitors, having conversations about ways to make each other better. So, you know, again, we talked yesterday about Ma. We'll probably talk about Ma again because I'm not going to leave without another Mortgage Action Alliance pitch. But I'm always going to make a pitch for the CMB as well. I think that it does demonstrate a level of passion, level of commitment. That no, it doesn't make you any more of an expert than somebody else who knows the same thing about the industry. But it does show that you know you're willing to go through the steps, take the prep course, take the written, take the oral, and demonstrate that. So I love the society.
I completely agree. Totally. I hear you and I feel you and I appreciate your passion for it. Let's jump into the MMA right now. Yesterday, you so kindly shared the text number where people can just easily text, join the MAA. Do you have that number still handy? If not, I think I've got it right here.
50457.
Love it.
And you
love it.
Text that.
And they text
MAA, the letters M, Mortgage Action Alliance, MAA to the number 50457. And I think it works. Does it work? Did you test it?
It works. I did it.
That automatically enrolls you. So membership in the Mortgage Action Alliance is a 1-year it doesn't auto renew. So it will expire after a year, but anytime that you respond to a call to action. So again, I talked about this either Friday or Monday. We got an email. If you're a member of MA, you got an email. Take action. It's related to those two pieces of legislation we talked about, the Home Buyer Privacy Protection Act. And anytime that you click take action and respond and send that information back to your member, to your legislators, you're automatically renewed. So I want to say, attendance at NAC automatically renews you enrolls you. So there's a couple of ways that you can renew by taking action, but the membership itself doesn't. So it's a grassroots effort. It's, you know, it's where we have the ability to immediately reach out to the people who have the power to influence when there's legislation that affects our industry. And, you know, we've seen action taken on a lot of different areas. And, you know, at one point there was another debt reconciliation that was the 11th hour, a call to action went out, members flooded, you know, my members, industry members flooded their legislators with information. And, you know, I don't remember, it may have been a MI premium deductibility or one of those things that might've been cut out was added back in and included. And so it works. I mean, it's a real time process. And like I said, it doesn't cost a thing to be a member. You don't have to pay, you don't have to donate. You have to be involved. You want to be involved and you get to be involved. So
I think a lot of people get overwhelmed at the idea of thinking, you know, I'm just one voice. What am I actually going to accomplish? But when you're one voice amongst other like-minded people, you can accomplish a lot. So I feel like that's exactly what the overtone message of all of this is. So thank you. Thank you again, as always, for your passion and your advocacy around that. I do want to get into you just a little bit more, though, because you aren't only an MBA and CMB champion. You also have a day job. So you are with MMI. Remind me again, what's your official title?
That I do. So I'm the Senior Director of Strategic Sales.
That's right, because it recently changed. Yeah. What a title, my friend. That is such a good one. And I don't care what you say. I'm keeping you the mayor of the MBA. I'm sorry.
Politics aside.
Politics aside. Okay, so at MMI.
Yeah.
This is a huge opportunity right now for LOs in the industry to be leveraging data to really go out there and find who they should be working with, what strategic partners they should be targeting, et cetera. What trends are you seeing right now that you feel like LOs should be keeping their eyes on?
Yeah. So, you know, really good question. Again, I think the affordable housing piece is so crucial. And so being able to have the ability to go into a source and find, you know, maybe it's for banks, it's crucial, but for anybody originating a loan, you want to help folks get into homes. You know, find data that can help you understand where those opportunities exist. If you're a bank and you're looking to work with a real estate agent that really does really well in a low to moderate income census tract, you've got that data right at your fingertips. That's one piece that, again, I talk a lot about because I'm very passionate about it. I grew up as a benefactor of somebody who worked hard to get into a house when they couldn't afford it. So, you know, I think that's one piece. And, you know, it's eliminating the guesswork, And so, you know, I started with MMI in 2022 in an enterprise sales role working with lenders. In 2023, I sort of changed my focus and got this, you know, this title that sounds something, but really what that means is a lot of my time is spent working with folks that are mortgage adjacent, title insurance agents, homeowners insurance agents, writing property and casualty lines. And so, you know, having data that those folks can use to also make the process smoother for the home buyers they go through. They have to go to a closing. Let's make sure we have good synergy there, good partnerships there. We have to have a homeowner's policy. Let's make sure we're working with somebody that my lender trusts or I trust. So there's just a lot of different applications there that you can get in and find that are beneficial to the home buyer at the end of the day.
I know. So MMI is based here out of Utah, where I'm located. What I really appreciate is I feel like they have a very grand idea for the growth trajectory that they want to undergo. And I feel like they're in the process of implementing that right now. I know that there was recently an acquisition that they made. Do you want to chat about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about that. And you know, again, we met shortly after, but I started here February of 2022. And I believe if I'm not misinformed, I think there were less than 20 of us at that time. And, you know, now we've acquired two companies. We acquired Bonzo CRM and now Monitor Base. And so,
wow.
You know, one of the best borrower monitoring and predictive analytics groups out there is now under the umbrella. So just having the ability to take the data that we have and build that into a set where then a loan officer can see, you know, data that we have, but also have some alerts and monitoring set up for their existing pool of borrowers that they've worked with. Retention, right? I mean, retention is the name of the game. So, you know, so being able to retain that borrower that you did the purchase for when they refinance or when they do buy their next home, having those leads and those alerts in place, it puts more power back in the loan officer's hand to keep those borrowers in house.
People have to do it right now. They have to be investing in this. The more that we're seeing some of these big servicers acquire more and more of the market share, the harder it's going to get for the everyday LO to keep competing in the landscape that we're in. They really need to be doubling down on investments in their technology, in their data analytics, the areas that will truly set themselves apart so that they can stay top of mind and at the forefront of when their borrowers are thinking about making some housing changes. They're the ones who are there. And so I really think that that's an important distinction to make right now of relevancy. If you want to stay relevant, you'd better be looking into this and really considering it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a very different world from 1999 when I got in the business. And with the oceans of data that exist in our space today that any loan officer has access to, if you're not leveraging that, if you're not taking advantage of the information that's available to you, you're going to fall behind. You're going to be dinosaur like me.
You are far from a dinosaur, my friend. That actually was going to be my next question, but I think you just answered it. Of what mistakes do you think LOs are making when it comes to data? And I think you just nailed it. By not utilizing it, that is the biggest mistake that they could be making.
No question. It's all there. Yeah. And, we do a great job of what we do. Obviously there's other places that do the same thing.
I've heard of the data. Use the data.
There's one guy that I'm not real sure.
I don't even like that guy.
Yeah, that's right. You shouldn't. it's so simple to get access to and use. And so if you're not taking advantage of it, if you're not looking into that and using that to identify your targets and prospect with your agent partners or your lender partners, well, you're really missing the boat. It just can't do business like we used to do business. There's too many folks that have access to the things that you also can have access to. So level up.
That's it. That is it right
there.
Take it to the max. Thank you for that, Jake. Anytime you can work that in there, if you would, please, that would be great. I do really appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate the kinship that we share. I appreciate your passion and your voice and the way that you really mean it when you say you will show up for people. You do it. And if people are not connected with you, it's just like what we're saying about missing out on the data. They are missing out on you because they really should be connected to you. You are one of my most favorite people, not even just in the industry, but as a whole. I absolutely adore you.
You're very, very generous. I appreciate that. No, it really has. It's been fun to kind of look back over the trajectory of, a chance meeting at a conference and standing in line to give a sponsor presentation and just turned into a really good friendship. And I'm a huge fan of what you and Brandon are doing. Obviously, I've gotten to be a part of that as well. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this with you every time we get to. And I'm grateful that I've had now my fourth appearance with you. So
Look at you go. Guys, take that, Stephen.
It's been fun. The last year, celebrated your year, just celebrated the year anniversary. It's been really fun to see what you guys have done over the last year, and even more exciting to think about what you are going to do from here. So I appreciate
it. It's
going
to get bigger and better. Thank you. Where can people find you? Because here I am singing your praises and I want them to connect with you. Where can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. On LinkedIn, I'm Jake Belter, CMB. I think my profile is public there. I don't spend a lot of time on a lot of the others. If you want to look at my Instagram, friends call me Jake. It's pretty simple to find that one. And my email address, jake@mmi.io. If you have any questions or just want to reach out, and I think my contact information, my phone number is on my LinkedIn page there as well. Text me. find me anywhere. You can find me in Birmingham right now where the weather's pretty nice.
Yeah, it looks really nice. So enjoy every second of that.
We have pollen. I've got an inch of pollen that might have landed on me over the last 35 minutes, but it's really nice out here right now.
I will take your word for it. It's cold and rainy here today. So just know that I'm jealous. Well, my friend, as always, it is great to catch up with you. Thank you for being here. You know, I will have you back any and every time. I appreciate you so, so much. Thank you for taking it to the max with me. And until next time, just keep killing it. You're the best.
Same to you. Thank you so much.